So our text for this morning's meditation is from Genesis chapter 32, these words, "And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Growing up in western Nebraska, I spent a lot of time as a child wrestling. For the town I grew up in was known for wrestling. The high school there would never lose a dual meet, at least it didn't then, and it would always win the conference title. And while they would not always be in contention for a state title, a number of individual wrestlers would make it to the state tournament with regularity and win there. One, for example, somewhat of a legend in the town, whose last name was Christensen, if I remember right, he had only three points scored against him throughout the entire season. And a family there in town, the Block family, had four boys, all of whom were state wrestling champions. A good friend of mine by the name of Davey Ensrud, he would eventually become a state wrestling champion. And my brother, my older brother Jim, well, he was on the road to such success, I thought, before my dad took the call to Colorado. He wrestled 9 times as a freshman in high school and recorded 9 pins. 9 pins. Who was my brother's main practice partner? His practice dummy. That was me. And not always willingly, because he was 4 years older than I was and much bigger, and yet during wrestling season, it seemed like he had to show me every single wrestling move that he had learned that day in practice, whether I wanted to learn those moves or not. Now, my mom, she didn't mind if we wrestled, even if we were wrestling on the living room floor, because if we were wrestling, we weren't fighting. We weren't fighting. For fighting's a whole different matter, isn't it? When two people fight, they're trying to hurt each other. They're trying to wreak some sort of revenge or just simply to be mean. Anger pouring out into physical violence, the desire to hurt being obvious. Wrestling is something else. Wrestling is a contest. It's a contest of strength, a contest of stamina and intelligence and decision-making. Wrestling's kind of like a game of physical chess. When you're wrestling, and I would wrestle too, you're not thinking about hurting the other person, but thinking about what moves they're going to make and why, and what moves you should make and why, and if you can pull off those moves. So as you're straining and striving, you're also thinking and wondering, what's going to happen next? Now, wrestling matches, if you've ever seen one, you know, a real one, they're not that long. They're 3 2-minute periods with no rest in between the periods. 6 minutes total. But if you are wrestling in such a match, even a short one, 6 minutes, those 6 minutes of time can seem to take forever. So, wrestling. In our text, Jacob finds himself wrestling with God, wrestling with the pre-incarnate Son of God. Similarly, in the gospel reading, the Canaanite woman has a wrestling match of wits with the incarnate Son of God, Jesus Christ. Both incidences recorded for us in the Holy Word of God describe for us times when God appears to treat an individual, a human being, someone who believes in Him as His Lord and Savior. In both instances, God appears to be acting in a way contrary to what He has promised to be to be. And those towards whom He is acting in such a way, they don't take it lying down. They don't take it lying down, but they wrestle. They wrestle with God. insisting that God be who he is, that God watch over them, that God guard them, that God guide them, that God keep them, just as God has promised to do. In Jacob's case, the situation was that everything seemed to be going so well for him, that finally the promises made to him by God were being fulfilled with his family and his financial situation, but then suddenly it all seems to be coming to an end. As Jacob's twin brother Esau, who Jacob had treated so poorly growing up, was coming out to meet him and his family with an army of 400 men. I mean, Jacob had been blessed by his father Isaac, and in traveling then to meet his future wife, Jacob had had the vision of the ladder and the angels ascending and descending, and the Lord saying to him, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I'll bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." This is what the Lord had promised to Jacob. Now Jacob, having then met and married his wife Rachel, having been tricked into marrying Leah, and having served his father-in-law Laban for many years, had been finally able to extricate himself from that servitude. Indeed, upon leaving Laban peaceably, Jacob, heading back to his father's house with all that he had, Jacob, as we read in Genesis 32, was met by a host of angels. A host of angels. So everything looked wonderful. Jacob had a large family, plenty of money, and the protection of an army of angels. But Esau was coming. Esau was coming. Esau, whom Jacob had tricked, first out of his birthright and then his blessing. Esau was coming with his 400 men. Sure, there were the promises of God and those angels, but this was an army. The wrestling match? A physical representation of what was going on in the mind and heart of Jacob. Yes, God had made all sorts of promises to him, but now it looked like those promises of God were for nothing. Life was happening, and life was devastating. But God wasn't coming to fight with Jacob, and Jacob was not going to fight with God. They wrestled. They wrestled, God and Jacob. And this is exactly what we do as well when we, in faith, believe the opposite of what we see, when we believe the opposite of what we hear, when we believe the opposite of what we experience. For we, like Jacob, like even the Canaanite woman, are children of God, being baptized into the union and communion and fellowship of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Through faith in Christ, we've been justified, declared righteous and holy before our Father in heaven. Daily, we talk to God in prayer. Daily, God talks to us through his holy word. Daily and richly, our sins are forgiven by the Holy Spirit as we live in the presence of God. And yet often, so often, it doesn't seem that that is so. It seems instead like our life is anything but that of a child of God. Financial challenges arise, and health issues, and family matters, and work debacles, and a whole host of other things. And what can we do then? What can we do then? We must, in faith, stand and wrestle with God. Wrestle with God in our hearts. Wrestle with God in our minds and souls, reminding ourselves and in our prayers, reminding God that we are clinging even to the crumbs that he would throw to us, for those crumbs from God, our loving Heavenly Father, are more valuable than all the wealth in the world. But why? Why must we do that? Why must we, on occasion, wrestle with God? Well, we must wrestle with God because he loves us and wishes to strengthen our faith in him. And what else strengthens faith but those times, those incidences, those occurrences in life when faith must cling, it must cling to the promises of God, because that's all it has. It's a funny thing, really. When it came to being my older brother's wrestling dummy for so many years, it was a funny thing that then having had to wrestle with him so many times, I could easily defeat the guys I would wrestle that were my same size and age. And after moving to Colorado, I gave up wrestling and took up swimming and basketball. But my PE teacher knew I had wrestled in Nebraska, and he was also the school's wrestling coach, and he got me one weekend to take part in a wrestling meet. I hadn't wrestled for ages, but I still won all my matches. Without knowing it, I had been prepared by my brother years before for those matches. So when it comes to times in our lives when we find ourselves wrestling with God, we shouldn't panic. We shouldn't be frightened or even aghast that such a wrestling match is taking place, a wrestling match between ourselves and God. For it's a wrestling match. It's not a fight. It's a wrestling match, not a fight. It's a situation in which God is training us to cling even more strongly to the promises he has made to us, especially to those he's made to us through his Son, so that the faith in him within us will grow. And it will be able to face what lies ahead of us in our lives. Let's not panic thinking that somehow if we get in a wrestling match with God that some big disaster is on the horizon. No. The horizon is life. And as many of you have told me yourselves and have told me on the basis of your experience, Pastor, it takes courage to get old. It takes courage to face the challenges of health and family and finance. It takes courage to live. Well, by wrestling with a God on occasion, what do we receive but courage? The courage of Christ flowing to us through the faith that has been strengthened by our wrestling matches with God. And if we can live daily with the courage of Christ, what then are the challenges of health and family and finance? We know what happened to Jacob, don't we? After the wrestling match with God, Jacob was not wiped out. He was blessed even further. And the Canaanite woman in the gospel reading, satisfied with the crumbs from the master's table, what happened to her? Her daughter was healed. Our wrestling matches with God can seem to last forever, but they don't. They don't. Sometimes they last only for a few minutes. But they are for our good. And they do accomplish in our life what God wishes to accomplish by them. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.